1 Thessalonians chapter 5, would you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Man, I hate to be in a rut. I like to do things different every now and then. And that's a grand old song. Tremendous song, and just looking forward to that day. It will be a marvelous day. Marvelous day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Drop down, if you will, verse 21. Been preaching through here. I've preached 7 messages here, and this is number 8, and probably next week we're going to finish. But what marvelous verses and what wonderful admonitions and exhortations God gives us, all right? Notice that one verse. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Amen. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Can I ask you, isn't that a no-brainer? I mean, really and truly, what could be easier? Now, I think in practice we believe it. In practice we believe it. You say, well, what do you mean? A vehicle. I don't know about you, but I don't go see a vehicle and say, I'll take it. I'll buy that. You say, well, it's brand new. I've only bought 2 like that. But even those, I don't drive it. I want to drive it. I want to crank it up. I want to see what it does. I want to see, you know, how it handles, and I want to see how it's, you know, how it's set in it and all that kind of thing. We do what? We say we take a test drive. So what are we doing? We're reproving it. We're proving it. Now, there's been times I sort of wish I'd have taken a longer test drive, but we take a test drive, all right? Clothes. Now, maybe you do, but this old fat boy here has a hard time just buying clothes by, you know, just pick and say, I'll take that. I've got to try them on. I don't care what the size says. I want to know how it fits. And I could go into detail, but I'm not going to do that tonight, all right? I've got to try them on. Try them on. My wife, when she buys clothes, she says, try them on. Try them on. And she has a difficult time finding something that fit to suit her. That's a good thing, but we try it out, right? We try it out. Recipes. We try them out. Before we decide this is going to become a family staple, we try it out. Well, I'll try this recipe. And some that are cooks, good cooks, you try it. Not exactly what, but I'm going to try it again. I'm going to add a little dish of that, a little dash of that, a little bit of pinch here, you know. And we perfect it. And then we say, we'll keep it. We'll keep it. All right? So, hey, we understand it on the practical side. But, man, it is tremendous, tremendous admonition for us when it comes to our lives, especially on the spiritual side, all right? And it looks like it ought to be a no-brainer, but, man, I have watched folks for years absolutely make shipwreck of their lives because they won't follow this exhortation right here. They just won't follow it at all. So I want to look at it tonight. Number one, the Bible just plainly says, prove all things. Prove. Now to prove, hey, you know what it is. It's to try. It's to test it. It's to inspect it for quality and worth. We want to see, is it worth anything? All right? Is it worth it? And if you're a garage sale shopper or anything like that, you look at things and you look them over and said, is this worth what they're asking for it? Or can I beat it out of them for a lot cheaper than what they're asking, you know? But we want to look it out. We test it, check it, you know. Hey, I want to find out if it's something good or not. Just want to check it out. And to prove is to test it to see whether it's genuine or counterfeit. Genuine or counterfeit? We test it out. They test your money. They do that at the grocery store. You go in with a bill bigger than 5 almost. They get out this marker and they run it across it, you know. I always try to tell them it's good. The ink's barely dry. They test them, all right? They test them. And the Bible says, hey, we're to try all things. Not accept things merely because someone we like might say or claim it's good. Be careful. The Bible, this is an admonition to individuals. We're to test things. Not to accept something just because somebody else, and somebody, especially somebody we like, we respect, say, well, if you say okay. Well, you might be careful about that, especially in the spiritual realm. Because many people get taken in because it's recommended by somebody. They put actors on television doing ads because they think people are gullible enough. If that famous person recommends it, well, people will do it. Hey, you need to be careful about that, all right? You need to be careful about that. I like to know if somebody's recommending something to eat, I want to know, have you ate it? Have you put it between your lips, chewed it up, and swallowed it, and did you survive in good shape, all right? I don't want just somebody to say, well, I think it's good. Well, it looks good to me. Looks good. No, I want to be sure. Hey, don't get taken in merely because something is new. I think we have that terrible condition in this day. We think if it's new, oh, man, I need to have it. Need to have one of those. I know in the realm of computers, and I am no computer expert, but I can remember the many forms that they've come out of operating systems. And somebody said, well, this one is better than that one. And a lot of times they come out with a new one, and then I hear people griping and complaining, and I got all kinds of problem with this or that or another. And I'm sitting there working on one that's been outdated for 5 years, but having a good time. Mine still works, you know, and I don't have to go through those problems. It's okay. It gets the job done. Be careful. Don't get swayed by that. That's why the Bible says prove all things. It goes this far. 1 John chapter 4, all right? 1 John chapter 4. Take a look there in your Bible, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says we're to do, all right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. And then it tells us why. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Used to, I would tell you, if you want to find false prophets, get on the Christian radio. There was everything under the sun. I mean, everything you could think of out there. Now it's Christian television. Or Christian, well, ain't nothing Christian about it, but YouTube or some kind of media like that, you can find you can find every kind of teaching under the sun on media today, all right? Just a little bit of everything. And I want to warn you ahead of time, if you hadn't figured it out, you better watch out. You need to try those spirits because there's a lot of falseness out there. There's a lot of false spirits. There's a lot of false prophets roaming over this world, making a killing off of God's people and flying jets around and living a high life, but they're not true men of God. They're just not, all right? And I believe with all my heart some of them know they're wrong, but it's okay, they're making a killing. Others, I think to myself, others, honestly, I think have been deceived. They personally have been deceived, and now got the false workers and the devil is using that one who's been deceived to deceive others. You need to be aware of that. You need to learn. That's why the Bible says, try the spirits. Try the spirits. Just because, I would even go this far. Just because it seems like some one individual has worked a miracle, don't necessarily latch onto that and say, that must be God. There is a devil who is the prince and the power of the air, and he's powerful. He's got more power than most of us even begin to think about, and he's able to do things. Don't just swallow things because it looks like something. Test them. Test them out, all right? Prove them. Hey, I'll give you one better. Go to Malachi chapter 4, all right? Malachi chapter 4. The Lord tells us there in 1 John, try the spirits. Try the spirits. But if you will, you go, excuse me, not Malachi 4, Malachi chapter 3. Now, when we start reading this verse, you're going to say, okay, preacher, here you go again. Well, I want you to look what the Bible says, all right? Malachi chapter 3, look, if you will, in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Now, a lot of people quit listening right there, because it's already affected them, and they think, can't do that. But don't you notice what the Bible says? He said, you bring all the tithes in the storehouse, there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. That's the Lord saying to you, hey, do you try the spirits? You prove all things. God says to you and me, prove me. Prove me. Said, here it is. You can prove me. Look, truth can stand the test. Nothing to worry about. If it's truth, it can stand the test. We don't have to be worried about it if it's the truth. All right? Don't have to be worried about it one bit in the world. It can take it. The Lord, God Himself says, here, one of the ways you can prove me, He said, you give. You give. And He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There'll not be room enough to receive it. Now, can I say this to you? Don't try it one Sunday and say, didn't work, didn't get over and over with blessings the next week. No, the Lord wants you to prove Him. But I'll tell you this, He's going to prove you at the same time. He's going to prove you and me at the same time. Learn to do that and prove Him. And you'll find out something about God. You know what you're going to find out? He'll do what He says. He'll do what He says. Prove me. Hey, so this business, prove all things. You say, why? What's the purpose? The proving process has a purpose, all right? It's not just done to occupy time and entertain you for a little while. That's not the purpose of proving. By the way, the purpose of us proving things is not so we can wag around and say, I told you. That's not the purpose of it, all right? This business of proving is where we, by deliberate action, make that action in order to discern that which is good. We're testing it to see what's good. I used to do that years ago, tasting mom's pecan pie. I used to do it years ago when she'd make that homemade icing for chocolate cake. And I didn't have to wait for the cake. I'd lick the icing bowl, man. I'd run my finger through that thing across my lips, and I'd do it. When I got through, you didn't even have to wash the beaters. I'd lick them clean. Hey, what you doing? Well, I was testing, all right? Trying to prove how good it was. I was looking for something good. Looking for something good. Now, we do that. You go to these yogurt places, frozen yogurt places, and they'll give you these little cups, sample cups. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about? Never been there? Go to one of them places, get a bunch of those sample cups, sample every flavor, and walk out. You're full. No, don't do that. But they give you the chance to try them, all right? They give you the chance. Here, you can try these flavors. And what a good thing. I like that. Sure. Test it out. Prove it. You like it? Don't like it? You don't like it, you don't have to eat it, all right? You don't have to get any more. We're to prove things. Why? We're looking to see, is it good? Is it good? Now, I want you to notice that word is prove. That word in our text is prove. It is not prefer. It's not prefer. It's not on what you like or what I like. It's not on what you want or what I want, but we're to prove it. It's on that which stands up to the proof. To the proof. All right? We're talking about things eternal. We're talking about spiritual things. Prove them. Check them out. Not just because, well, that's what I like. That's what I like. I go down to the Brahms. I've told you before, I like black walnut ice cream. You say, ew, I don't like that. Great, more for me. I don't want you to like it, all right? That's fine, no problem. Not a problem at all. You know, if you don't like it, fine with me. But you have yours, all right? And they'll give you a little cup there, you prove it. But wait a minute, we're not talking about what you prefer. We're talking about what you can prove. We're talking about what you can prove is good. Could I just raise my hand and tell you, I like some things that aren't good. I like some things that aren't good. I like to eat a lot of things that aren't good for me. I'm going to see the doctor tomorrow. Annual checkup, can hardly wait. You know? Go see him, talk with him. I like to give him, I like to entertain him, you know? And so I'm looking forward to that. And he's going to say, well, you've gained a little weight since last time. Yeah, I said, that's because I like food. And what I like is not necessarily good for me. Just now, I try to be careful, but it's not. You know, it's just, I don't always, there's some things I like that aren't good. Hey, there's some things that I like that are not good spiritually, too. Preacher. Hey, look, I live in the same old body of flesh just like you do. There's some things I like. Well, what do? Well, I can't prove them. Can't prove them. So, well, how do you prove them? Number one, plain and simply, give them the scriptural test. That's how you prove things. You take this book right here. You prove them with the Word of God. Hey, you got something going on? Hey, does it line up with the Bible and biblical principles? Now, the Bible does not say thou shalt not shoot heroin in your veins. Doesn't say that. You say, thank God, man, I can keep doing it. No, you can't. Doesn't say that, but there's a Bible principle. There's a Bible principle. And you say, what is it? Well, easily, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're responsible for how you take care of it. What you do to it. You can't go around doing those things, all right? It's wrong. Don't do it, okay? Prove it. How do you prove it? Scriptural. Bible. Take it. Does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with biblical principles, all right? If it doesn't, then they fail the test, okay? They're not good. Does it violate any tenet of Scripture whatsoever? If it does, don't have anything to do with it. It is not good. You take the Bible, you test it with the Word of God. Remember what the Bible says about itself? It says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what? Sometimes you got to prove people. Sometimes you have to prove people. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, you need to line them up with the Word of God. They're not good. All right? Now, and I don't mean by that, because preacher, the Bible said there's none good. I know that. But you line some folks up with the Bible and you realize, hey, they're going to be the worst thing in the world for me. I need to stay away from them completely. Need to do that. Hey, that whole crowd I mentioned this morning that we're not going to load up a crowd and have you sell your house and we're going to move to somewhere in the jungles of South America. Look, as soon as Jim Jones even wafted that out there, actually even before that, if they had to use the Bible, then and on, this guy is a false prophet. False prophet. That's the kind of person I'm talking about. You take the Word of God, line them up, see what they got, see where they're going. Not for me, I'm done. There's some folks on the internet that you can access. I'd strongly urge you not to listen to them. Amen. They're false prophets. What they teach does not line up with this book. As a matter of fact, it opposes what's taught here in this book. And you need to be careful of that crowd, all right? Need to be careful. Hey, by the way, some of them are very charismatic. They're very appealing. They have a wonderful presentation. And it sounds good until you begin to really listen. Do you really listen? And by the way, sometimes listen for what they won't say. Not just for what they do say. Scriptural test. Prove all things. Then I believe there's a second test. I believe there's a testimony test. This thing out here, will it hurt my testimony? Will it hurt my testimony? What's it going to do? Will it build me up or will it tear me down? Is it going to help me? Is it going to strengthen me? All right? Or is it going to hinder me from doing what God wants me to do, being what God wants me to be? Is it going to help or hinder my Christian growth? Hey, those things ought to be going through our mind. We're testing things. We're proving things. Check them out. Check them out. Hey, listen, if the Bible, I said if the Bible didn't say anything about drinking alcoholic beverages, that test right there would keep you out of Billy Bob's and every other beer joint in the world. They're not going to help your Christian growth. Just not going to happen. Now, I said if. There's plenty in the Bible about it, okay? So don't go looking for that and say, well, I think I'll try it. And say, no, don't. Hey, there needs to be that testimony test. Look, I think your testimony, my testimony is super important. Super important. Because, as we've said it many, many times, people watch our lives. People watch our lives. And they determine from what we do what's good, bad, or indifferent, okay? They watch us. Testimony. I'm going to say this. When in doubt, don't. Amen. When in doubt, don't. Don't. By the way, don't talk yourself into it in the process, all right? Amen. Don't stay there long enough till you convince yourself, well, it can't be all that bad. I mean, you know, I've worked around all day. Really, if it's there and there's doubt, just stay away from it, okay? Prove all things. You've got a testimony. It takes a lifetime to build it. You can ruin it in an instant. You can ruin it in an instant. You put it to the testimony test. Hey, if it passes the test, are you back there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Prove all things. Then it says, hold fast that which is good. Now, we said, prove it. Okay, we said prove it, and we talked about the purpose of proving, and I'm going to tell you, once you figure it out it's good, you purchase it, okay? Just get it. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Why? Because those things are good. Those things are good. And you check them out, you can prove them, and the Bible said once you got it, buy it, okay? Just buy it. Grab a hold of it. If it passes the test, if it's found to be good, then get it and keep it. That word hold fast, I thought about what does it mean? I think it means to hang on for dear life and don't let go. If you study the Hebrew, that's exactly what it means. Actually, I have no idea, but that's the way I look at hold fast. Hold fast. You get a hold of it, you hang on for dear life, and just flip. Don't let go. Don't let go. Because you found something that's good. It's good. Let me say this. If it's really good, it'll stand the test of time. You say, why didn't he mention that? Because I've seen far too many people grab something that's good, prove it, grab it, and they keep it for a little while. Then later down the line, they swap it because they get convinced that the imitation is just as good, if not better. It's not. If it's good, man alive, why you let somebody talk you out of it? Why in the world would you do it? I've seen kids at school, when I was in school, allow some other kid to convince them, hey, this is a good deal. I'll swap you this for that. And I mean, they lose in the swap big time. They get a piece of junk for something that's good. That's one reason we have a policy at our school. No, we don't do that. We don't do that, all right? Just not going to do it. Because I don't want to have to listen to some parent call me up and say, how come you let Junior? I said, well, first of all, I didn't know what Junior was doing, okay? They didn't come to me and ask, what do you think of my swap, all right? But hey, you and I, if it's really good, it'll stand the test of time. So once we've got a hold of something that's good, don't be quick to swap it off, all right? Don't think, well, hey, it's old now. Hey, there's a lot of things in the Bible that are hundreds and hundreds of years old, but they're good. They're good. You can stake your life on them. You can stake your life on them. Somebody might come along and tell you, hey, boy, we've studied this thing out, and I've heard this or that. I had somebody tell me the other day that they visited a church that I'm familiar with, and I'm familiar with the individual that they were talking about. And they said, I was in their Bible class, and this individual said, because of the Holy Spirit, we now know, and what they said was totally false. And this individual that was telling me said, I got up and walked out. That's what you should have done. Here's somebody coming along saying, hey, we no longer... Basically, what they're saying is because, the Holy Spirit, that we can be led to do what we've said in the past was wrong. Whoa. And in my house, when I was growing up as a kid, we never tried to broach new theories with my dad about what was right and wrong. Dad was one of those sticklers. He had this crazy idea that if it was right 50 years ago, it's still right. And he said, if it's really wrong 50 years ago, hey, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. And, hey, it didn't change as we grew older. As we grew older, my dad still expected us to respond to him the same way we always had, with respect and all of that. He never expected us to say, well, you're grown now, so you no longer have to respect me and your mom. No, that day never came. That day would have never happened, all right? Hey, can I say this when the Bible says something in the Bible, when it says children obey your parents in the Lord, can I say this to you? That's what it means. When it says honor thy father and mother, that's not just while you're at home, living at home as a kid. I believe it goes when you marry, you're out of the house, still ought to honor mom and dad. Still order. You want to be smart, you want to be wise, you honor mom and dad. I'll be honest with you, I want to honor my mom and dad today, and their bodies are yonder in Mount Olivet Cemetery. Now, they're not there, but they're not here anymore, and I don't have to answer to them, but I still want to honor them. Why? Because it's a biblical truth. I don't want to swap that for somebody's new idea. Be careful. Be careful. Prove all things. Hold fast. Hold fast that which is good. Can I just give you a few good things I've found in life? A bride. Proverbs 18:22 said, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Now, can I say this to you? I don't believe this is just one-way deal. I think whoso findeth a husband findeth a good thing too. All right? If you found one. Now, a biblical. Now, I proved my wife before she became my wife. She proved me before I became her husband. Now, that doesn't mean we shacked up together because that's biblically wrong. It is a wicked sin. It is immorality. Hey, by the way, that hadn't changed. That's one of the things people today say, well, it's not like that anymore. That's an old-fashioned idea. No, it's a biblical idea. We didn't do that. You say, what do you mean then? Hey, we dated for 4 years. That's why I didn't see anything wrong with April the 26th saying, hey, let's get married. When? How about May the 23rd this year? Hey, I believe we almost were engaged for a month. You say, man, that's short. But we've been hanging around each other for 4 years. I tried her. She had tried me. You say, what do you mean? You need to know how people react to good or bad events, good or bad situations. I think it's a good thing if you're thinking about marrying somebody, you see how they react when they're mad. I make them mad. I never had any trouble doing that in those days. You make them mad, right? And then see how they react. Just see how they react to it. What's the purpose of that? Hey, you need to see what kind of a temper somebody has. By the way, the Bible said be angry and sin not. See, I wanted to know, hey, what's it going to be like, all right? Test it. Test them out. Let's check them out. I want to see them in different situations. Hey, can I just tell you this? I want to see how much she loved the Lord. Because I didn't want to marry somebody that didn't love the Lord. I tested her. I tried her. I proved her. Now, I'm sure she'd tell you she did the same thing. All right? She did the same thing. Fortunately, she had a toleration for not doing the best. All right? But I want to know, can she cook? See, I think that's important. You say, why? Because of a man in youth camp at Silver State in Colorado, Brother Dan Allen. Almost every summer I was there, he'd quote this. He'd say, gentlemen, before you're wed, ascertain how you'll be fed. Delve into each pan and pot that your bride-to-be has got. Though her kisses please, what about her recipes? And it goes on from there, and I thought, that's good advice. Check it out. A lot of people have gotten married, and they taught each other to cook, and it was tough sledding, all right? And I'm just telling you, prove them. Prove them. You that are here and you're not married, don't even consider getting married to somebody you haven't proven. Proven. See how they measure up. You said, how? Against this book. What does God expect a bride to be? What does God expect a groom to be? Check it out in the Word of God. Hey, I found a few good things. Found a bride. Found a beat. You said, what? I mean music. Music. Hey, I like music. I enjoy music. I like to listen to it. Like to sing it. Sometimes you're better off you're not around when I'm singing. But you know what? I wanted something that appealed to more than the flesh. Amen. With just a flashy beat. There's a lot of music that'll get the body moving or the foot patting the floor. But good music speaks to the soul. It goes past, hey, I like that. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with patting your foot. If you watch me up here, I pat the foot a lot on Sunday morning when we're singing, all right? Nothing wrong. We're not of the opinion that every song that we sing needs to be Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide. Now, it doesn't have to be like that. Now, there's nothing wrong with Rock of Ages. It's a great song. But every song doesn't have to be like that, all right? Not at all. I checked them out. I wanted to see what it did for me. Good music has harmony and it's melody and it's got rhythm and they're in a balance. Yes, they're balanced together, all right? By the way, I think good music also has a message. Yes, a message. The songs we sing in here, they've got harmony. They've got melody. They've got rhythm. Boy, they got a message. Got a message. Good music ought to have that. Good music ought to have that. He said, preacher, don't you ever listen to anything else? Yeah, I like Roy Acuff and the Wabash Cannonball, all right? But I don't listen to that much. I'd rather listen to something that speaks to me and helps me keep closer to God. Cheers my day. Cheers my day. I listen to, got to be careful I say this, I don't listen to rock music, but I've heard enough of it to think, Lord, help. Why would you want to do that to yourself? Man, I don't want music that does that, all right? And I found good music, all right? Good music. Why? Tested it out. Watch what it does to people. Watch what it brings out. Watch the message and how it affects you, all right? Yeah, found a good beat, found a good bride. Hey, I found a good book. Amen. Found a good book. This one right here. Yeah, I'm talking about the old King James Bible. Found a good book, all right? Man, a book that's it's got authority. Authority. It's got a heritage. It's got a history behind it, all right? You know, some people today think, well, you just don't learn any other Bible and don't care what about. Yeah, the problem is where they come from. It's their heritage, right? It's their heritage. And I don't have time tonight to preach on that, but people that just get up and mock those of us that love this old King James Bible and want to make fun of us, they don't bother me too much because I kind of feel sorry for them because they've adopted something that doesn't have the heritage that this book has, and by the way, hasn't produced the legacy this book's produced. It's the preaching of this book that sent the gospel around the world. Preaching of this book. It's that book right there. Man, I found a book. I proved it over and over again. I'll say this, I found some beliefs. Those beliefs are what make me a Baptist, all right? And that's because they're found in this book right here. I am a Baptist by conviction. Now, preacher, you think you're the only folks going to heaven? No. I could say, like, I don't remember now who I heard it from. It said, we're not the only ones going to heaven. We're just the only ones going first class. Now, and that's not true either, all right? There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not get there any other way, all right? Hey, by the way, being in a Baptist church, joining a Baptist church, being dunked in a Baptist baptistry won't get you to heaven. You've got to be born again, all right? Got to be born again. But what I believe from this book made me a Baptist, all right? Because Baptist doctrine's Bible doctrine and Bible doctrine's Baptist doctrine. It's straight from the Word of God. It passes that scriptural test, all right? Passes that scriptural test. Now, I've had some friends get sucked away from the truth. Get sucked into hyper-Calvinism. Got a fellow that I know was a friend of mine. I'm still his friend. I don't know if he's mine. But I'm still his friend. I've been to his church. I've preached for him and loved him and still love him. But he told another mutual friend of ours, he said, why do you leave those tracts out? There's no reason to do that. He said, if they're going to get saved, they'll get saved. That's hyper-Calvinism. You know, I heard somebody say one time that hyper-Calvinism teaches that what will be, whether it is or not. You say, well, that's stupid. Well, amen to that, all right? I told this one time in a service here, and there was a fellow sitting about four rows from the back on that side that got mad and never came back. I was talking about this subject, and there was, I'm saying, I heard this story, this church, and there was real problems between folks in there that were Bible believers and the folks that had gone for the hyper-Calvinists, and they were arguing back and forth, and finally this one guy got up. He was a great believer in Calvinism and said he had a chicken leg in his hand, and he said it was foreordained and decreed by God before the foundation of the world that I would eat this chicken leg. Fellow across the table from him believed the opposite, reached over and grabbed it and ate it. Hey, look, I don't believe because it's not scriptural that God went down and chose who would go to heaven and who would not go to heaven. And no matter what you do, if you're not in that group that is predestinated and foreordained before the foundation of the world to go to hell, then nothing you can do to keep from going there. Now, There is nothing in the Bible that says that either. Nothing in the Bible says that. But my friend now believes that. Said, how'd he get in? He got to hanging with the wrong crowd. He got to hanging with the wrong crowd. And he didn't prove them. Prove them. You need to be careful. I told you, you have to prove people. Some people are not good for other people to be around. You rub off on you, all right? Too easy, especially if it's somebody we really like. I'll use Brother Marshall. I don't think will mind me using this illustration. If Brother Marshall was a hyper Calvinist, it's probably not the smartest thing in me to do to hang around him all the time. Just wouldn't be wise. I like him. I like him. He's my friend. But that's what I say, you prove. Prove all things. Prove all things. I've told teenagers before, you need to stay away from that person. You just need to stay away from that person. Well, what's wrong with them? Are they bad? You just need to stay away from that person. He'll get you into trouble. Now listen, I found some good things, and that's not all. But I've latched on to those, and I plan to hold on to them and never turn loose. I'm going to hold on to this old book. I'm going to hold on to what I believe. I'm going to hold on to that bride I've got. I'm going to hold on to the music that I have that's brought a blessing to me. Hey, at the same time, I can say this. I found plenty of things that have not passed the proving. They failed. I run into more of those every day. More and more of those every day. But you're never going to pry from my fingers those great possessions that I have proven. The ones that have passed, you're not going to talk me out of them. You're not going to do it. Hey, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of Baptists today that believe everything under the sun. But the fact that they've gone wrong doesn't mean that I think it's wrong now to say I'm Baptist. They're the ones that's changed the definitions, not me. They changed it, all right? It's not going to do that, all right? I have changed a lot in the 42 years I've been married to my wife. I hope she never gets to the point, looks at me and said, yeah, you're not the same guy I married. I tell her, I'm twice the man I used to be, all right? You ought to be glad of it. But be glad. Hey, prove all things. Whatever you do, don't give up later what's been proven scripturally. Don't let somebody talk you out of that which is good. Don't let somebody come along and convince you, oh, listen, this is better. This is better. Now, if you've got a car that's burning oil and looks like it's fogging for mosquitoes every time you drive it, and it's kind of hitting on every other cylinder, all right, and it sputters and backfires, and it's 33 years old, okay, you can get a better one. But don't let them talk you out of the things that have been proved in this book. Don't let them talk you out of the things been proven from the Word of God. Don't let them do it. Don't let them say, well, something new's been discovered. You know, they're always talking about, well, we found new things over in the Middle East. We've unearthed this. None of it's ever changed this. Some of them came out when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, and I can still remember when they made such a big, big deal of that, but nothing in it changed the truth of this book. Nothing. Nothing. Don't let people talk you out of it, all right? Prove all things. Prove all things. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? You've exhorted us that we're to prove all things.